Now we turn to envy, one of the most spiritually corrosive and socially destructive of the seven deadly sins. Envy, New Testament word is prothonos. It's a primary New Testament word for it. The definition means resentment at another person's good, accompanied by the desire that they not possess it. It's a little different from the envy we typically think of, right? Resentment at another person's good, accompanied by the desire that they not possess it. This is crucial. Envy's not merely wanting what another has. That's covetousness. Envy is personal sorrow at another's blessing. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, idolatry, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy. Envy destroys community. It destroys intimacy. It's inherently relational. In James chapter 3, verse 16, he writes, "For where envy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice." Envy produces disorder. Envy dissolves unity. In Romans 1:29, it says, "They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness," and it lists all these things, and it says, "envy followed by murder and strife." For the Apostle Paul, envy is a very serious sin. He places it alongside murder, and that's not accidental, as envy can lead to violence. A second word is zelos, which means zeal or jealousy, and that can be positive or negative. This word can mean righteous zeal or sinful jealousy, and the context determines the meaning. Envy is zeal corrupted. The Hebrew word is quinah, means jealousy or zeal or envy. And this word can be used for God's righteous jealousy or human sinful envy. The difference lies in the motive and in the righteousness. Remember Cain and Abel? Envy leads to murder. Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, God accepted Abel's offering but not Cain's. And Cain became angry. God warned him, sin is crouching at the door. The warning did not avail. Cain killed Abel. Envy cannot tolerate another's favor. And this is the first murder in Scripture, by the way. Then Joseph's brothers, remember them? Any envy led to betrayal. In Genesis 37, verse 11, his brothers were jealous. They envied him, and they sold him into slavery. Envy can destroy family bonds, and we see that a lot today in today's world, sadly. Saul and David, envy can produce paranoia. Remember in 1 Samuel 18, the women saying, "Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s. Saul became envious. He actually became enraged. And Scripture said, Saul eyed David from that day on. Envy can produce obsessive comparison. Sadly, I've had some counseling situations where that has been the case. The religious leaders in Jesus, envy led to crucifixion. In Mark 15, verse 11, for he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priest had delivered him up. Christ was crucified because of their envy. Well, we know there's other reasons for that too, but that was part of their motivation. They could not tolerate his authority, holiness, and his influence. Envy resists superior goodness and will seek somehow to remove it. Augustine defined envy as sorrow at another's good. He taught that envy directly opposes love, for love rejoices in another's good. Envy mourns it. In Confessions, he observed envy even in infants. He wrote, "I have seen and known even a baby envious. It could not endure sharing nourishment." Envy is deeply rooted in our fallen nature, he said. John Chrysostom, envy is worse than anger. He says, envy is the worst of all diseases. It wastes the one who suffers from it. Envy harms the envier more than the envied. It's self-consuming. Gregory the Great, Envy, he saw envy as sorrow at another's prosperity. It was Gregory who classified envy among the seven deadly sins. He said it produced hatred, distraction, and slander. Rejoicing in another's misfortune, envy cannot tolerate someone else flourishing. Just think of those school days way back when someone else got the part or someone else got the position and you were left out. That kind of helps bring it home a little bit. Aquinas defined envy precisely, quote, sorrow at another's good insofar as it's perceived as diminishing one's own excellence. And this is an extremely important part. The envier perceives another's blessing as personal loss, even when it's not. Envy is based on false inadequacy. So why envy is a deadly sin? It's because it produces hatred, division, gossip, rivalry, violence. Envy is uniquely destructive to the church community, the fellowship of believers, and intimacy with other people. The Apostle Paul defines love in contrast to envy. In 1 Corinthians 13:4, which we know is the love chapter, but it says what? Love does not envy. Love rejoices in another's good. Envy grieves it. Envy's anti-love. Envy says, the good of another diminishes me. It's rooted in comparison, comparing with other people, insecurity about who I am, identity instability, and pride, which we talked about this morning. Envy cannot accept God's distribution of gifts. The bottom line, it resents divine providence, resenting what others have been blessed with. In other words, God didn't know what he was doing. The primary antidote for envy is charity and gratitude. Charity rejoices in another's good. That's love. It's also essential in gratitude. Gratitude recognizes all gifts are God's grace. They're all from God. And they're all gifts. It's not entitlement. It's because it's from God. Jesus was the perfect opposite of envy. Jesus does not resent human flourishing. He gives himself for it. I mean, he actually died for it. Philippians 2, 6, and 7, though he was in the form of God, what did he do? He emptied himself. Christ didn't grasp, he gives. For God so loved the world that he gave. Several of the church fathers taught envy was the devil's primary sin. Some of them quote Wisdom, which is in the Apocrypha 2:24. Though the devil's envy, through the devil's envy, death entered the world. The devil envied humanity's destiny. He couldn't stand it. So he envied God himself eventually. So the theology of envy, envy is sorrow at another's good, resentment of divine generosity, it's opposition to love, real love, agape love, and it's the root of division and violence. It says, if I cannot have it, neither should they. Love says, your good is my joy. Your blessing is my joy. Envy is the total opposite. So a deadly sin, envy. So let's take a few moments and ask the Lord, where is envy affecting my life? Is there envy and its various forms that has saturated somewhere in my being? So we've looked at pride, greed, lust, and envy. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not off the hook. But praise the Lord that Jesus came. Remember the Christmas story? The angel speaks to Joseph, and he said, you shall name him Jesus, for he shall what? Save his people from their sins. But none of us are perfect. We've all messed up. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But Romans 5:8 tells us what? That God demonstrates his own love for us. That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And as followers of Jesus, one of the blessings we have is 1 John 1:9, which says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So don't leave here tonight feeling guilty and feeling, maybe you feel convicted, maybe there's some areas that you need the Holy Spirit to help you work in your life, but don't leave here feeling like God's pointing his finger and so angry at you that you can't live your life. No, he's forgiven you if you've asked him, and he wants to empower you and help you walk with him. He loves you. He cares for you. At the same time, this sin gets in the way of our relationship with him and with other people, and we need to allow him to change us and transform us and remove it from our lives. Romans 8:1 says this, "For there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." He's not condemning you. He's loving you enough to point out the areas that need to change. So I hope you'll leave here tonight with that in your mind, that God loves you, he cares for you, but at the same time, there's some things I need to work on, and I'll ask him to help me work. We can't do it on our own. We have to have him help us do it, and he will. He'll transform you, free you from the bondage of whatever sin's holding you up.